Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new installment of The Humanity of Trading. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining me is Cleo, the creator of this miniseries. And today's guest is an old friend of the show, Andrew, formerly known as Bigfoot. Andrew, how you been, man? If you've got anything you want to plug or promote, please, please share it with the group.
Oh, hey, guys. I'm good. Thanks for having me. This is exciting. I'm looking forward to a good convo.
Is this, what were your first podcast you ever did?
Oh yeah, I spoke publicly for my career. previously, and I've done a handful of educational things in my my normal day job working life. But you guys' first trading podcast for sure.
Oh, I love that.
And that was about 2 years ago. I just listened to that one again, which is a gem of an episode. Also, highly recommend.
It's been that long.
That was 2 years ago. God, yeah, damn. October. Yeah. Of 2022.
You learn a lot in 2 years, you know? That's the beauty of it all, right?
And you've changed a lot. You went from Bigfoot to Andrew. I think you launched a trading company. What's the website on that?
Yeah, Long Winter Trading Co. It's primarily just an outlet for my own thoughts. Mm-hmm. And as we'll get into a little bit today, I'm sure kind of shaping my own identity as a trader and as a person who's participating in markets, kind of sorting out what that looks like for me. And I operated as Bigfoot in the early days, and that was fun. I think it's important probably for all of us to kind of set aside, public things for a minute and just go into kind of a monk mode. And, there was an element of that. Like, I felt like I had gathered enough information to really like dive into what I wanted to do in trading. And so I set some milestones. I went underground. I really pressed what I wanted to accomplish. And then I just missed, honestly, like the community interaction. Like, you get so much stimulation from good input, good input from people, like somebody commenting on a thing, somebody sharing a thing. So I really wanted to come back and try to interact with the community in a
positive way.
Yeah. In like a thought provoking, hopefully positive way,
on Twitter. What?
No. I know it's novel. I realize that it's novel. And it was, it definitely has a low probability of working, but so far it's been great. And, there's something really special about putting out your thoughts into public, that like cements them, and then it allows you to act on them better. So
there's something just about being that it's like the extra accountability that maybe you don't have from other places. But like, when you take like the decision that you're going to, talk about the bad things that you do publicly on an open forum like that. Yeah. Makes you kind of think twice maybe about what I'm doing today. Maybe I don't want to talk about this tomorrow.
Totally. Maybe I would like to make this mistake today and not again. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I had maybe one of the most transformative periods was, this is a while ago now, but, I had a pretty miserable day, and at the time I had a mentor, and I had to call him up and kind of talk through all that. And I said, man, I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never make this phone call ever again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I am never going to call this guy and tell him this ever again. So I just won't ever do it.
And has that proved to be true?
100% true. Oh, yes.
Love that.
It's like, I don't know. I never smoked, but I assume it's kind of like quitting smoking. You're just like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. And I know it's different for everybody, but in that case, it was like, I don't know if it was like embarrassing enough, you know, it's like embarrassing enough for me to have to call him up and talk through all this stuff and just be like, no,
you committed.
It's admitting to it. You not just admitting it to yourself, but you're admitting it to somebody that you respect.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'd rather just sit on my hands. You know what I mean? Right. And I think that's definitely been intensely positive.
I'm going to have to remember that moment for when days like today happen.
Yeah.
The website again was Long Winter Trading Co. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
LongWinterTradingCo.com. And you can mostly I just post articles there of things I'm thinking about. And it's just it's a way for me to kind of put into words some of the things that are kind of rolling around in my noggin.
Kind of like an outlet or a way to organize the thoughts.
It's very much an outlet. So my past, you know, my history career-wise is creative. And so I think that comes through in what I'm talking about. I also have a handful of like resources on there, mm-hmm. Some things that have helped me out a lot.
So I just want to chime in. Your website is incredible.
Oh, thank you.
It's like you're totally underselling it.
Yeah.
When I went there, I mean, your writings are super engaging and dynamic and punchy. Like they're not, you know, they don't go on and on. You have all of these resources. Your whole framework for coaching is there. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
So I highly recommend checking out your website. And I have so many questions for you about your frameworks. And maybe I can just jump in and say why I'm excited to talk to you today. Yeah. So what you're up to, and I know you've got influences on it, but it very much resonates with how I view life. Mm-hmm. And about 10 years ago, I became aware of parts work or internal family systems. Mm-hmm. And I haven't yet met anybody that brings in parts work to trading.
Yeah.
And I know that that's something that you're all about. And
yeah.
I'm just thrilled to get to see how you do it and for our listeners to get a taste of that.
Yeah. Is parts work, is that what we're filling out with the PDFs then?
Yeah, that's such a big part of it. So I think of kind of our interactions with markets in two ways, right? So markets are one entity and then like us as humans are another entity. Mm-hmm. There's like kind of two big data sets there, right? So if we're just thinking technically, you got the market, it does all its things. You know, it has behaviors, it has tendencies, mm-hmm. right? It has statistics that run that. But then we as traders, we overlay our statistics on top of that, right? And then a positive relationship between those two things creates, you know, a P&L curve that in the aggregate goes higher. Mm-hmm. And when we overlay kind of bad data on top of good data, it doesn't work. When we overlay, you know, good personal data over bad market data, it doesn't work. And so we really need those two things to both, you know, function together. And what I've really found is that as independent traders, we are our own risk managers, right? We're our own research team. We are responsible for all of that. Mm-hmm. And the more we can work to be in line with who we are and it be just like a natural experience. So trading being a natural expression of how we view life, how we do things, and then we can put ourselves over the statistics and make those two things work. Kind of the more longevity you have, right? Mm-hmm. The easier it is. So the less stress you experience each day and the less stress you experience just executing your system, right? The more size you can trade it with because you can take on more stress in that form. What I see a lot of times is I see people develop systems that they feel like are good systems, but they're just totally bonkers for who they are as people, right? So
can you give an example?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll tell you for myself, one of the big examples was, early on in kind of my first phase of trading, I was pretty successful, like scalping NQ. I still trade NQ primarily, but I was scalping it on a very small chart. And that was working because I was able to use kind of my ability to read crowds and read the Dom and read all that stuff like pretty well. Like that was like, I had a strategy, I had a method, I had dialed it all in. But what I found in my own self is that it's too tedious. It mm-hmm. was just too tedious of work. Okay. So coming in, and this isn't like a dig at all. But coming in and trying to like catch 10, 15 point like rotations on NQ here and there, and then maybe drift on for a bigger trade was just too tedious for me. And I know that works for a lot of people. And I think it really aligns with their personality, but I had to just come to a realization that said, man, my personality would rather find a trade, put it on, leave a stop, take the stop, or hold the trade and just move on with my life. Do you know what I mean? And so there was a tedious quality of like, so I would do really well. I'd do really well for like 3 or 4 weeks. And then that the tedious quality of the work just would get to me. Just be like, who cares? Like, this sucks. And that was just part of like, so here I had like a positive EB system, but I was unable to trade it for a long period of time because it went against who I was as a person.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah. And so what I did was I said, okay, well, who am I? Like, what are some of my main qualities? And so one of my main qualities, and you see this kind of in the work that I do, is I don't really, like, I'm not super motivated by like P&L. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. It's not thrilling for me. And I know that's going to be weird for a trading podcast, but like, I'm in a position in my life where things work. I'm not dependent on the income of trading. And so for me to show up and run a process and run it well, and then take whatever it gives me, whether that be, you know, red or green, is so satisfying for me. Like, that is fantastic. And I like, so it's actually, this is going to sound funny, but for me, like, taking a red day is like sticking it to the man.
Oh, really?
It's like, it's not, I know it sounds crazy. It's like taking a reasonable red day is like, yeah, I don't, money.
That's the worst you can do, kind of feeling.
Money's almost stupid anyway. Yeah, like I think that's like, that's a really bizarre way to think about it, but that's how I think about it. And then, you know what I do is I have a green day and I go, yeah, still money's still stupid. Do you know? Like,
right, yeah.
Okay. And guess what? My wife's going to spend it, you know? So it doesn't matter to me. And so like, that's why I do this.
So what is why you do it? What is the exciting part? Okay, so like, to, yeah.
What I love about markets and what I love about trading is I love two things. I love the complexity and trying to organize the data.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like the sort of puzzle quality of it all, right? Is like, and the process of it. So let me see if there's a statistical edge here. Let me see how can I align my process with executing in that way. And then I love being the kind of person who can do that without caring about the results. So I really love being a person who is consistent and is consistently acting on the market despite what it throws at me.
Okay. Have you always been like this, or is this something you've developed into?
I think I've probably always been a little bit this way.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It sounds like what Rich Friesen like preaches in the many conversations we've had with him, where you need to be celebrating the process, not the results. And sounds like you've figured out a way to divest yourself from the P&L aspect of it and just celebrate the execution. And I'm doing this consistently, and that's what I care about.
Totally. Like at the end of it, and this is, you know, I kind of hit on this in a few things that I write. I think it just kind of comes out, but yeah, like I'm just not deeply satisfied by the financial qualities.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool if I was. It would probably be easier, but instead I really enjoy, I like being tested. I like being tested by the market. So I like that when I put on a position and it goes against me, the market is testing me. Can you follow your process? Or, you know, are you going to give in today to, you know, the P&L, you know, that sort of animal, like lizard brain that wants to do something else. Right. And I say, well, no, I'm taking the stop on that one, you know, and today's a minutes day. So I was off the indexes today. I was in stock land and I took stops on Google and Amazon pretty quickly. And then I rode coin, you know, it's like, all right, that was fun. Now I'm done. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
It's wrong on two, right on one. And I think that's a pretty, and yes, it produced a green day, but it doesn't, what was more enjoyable actually was the two stops on Amazon and Google, because that was where the market was testing me and saying, can you do what you said you're going to do? Or are you going to back down? And so I sort of enter into that mode. I think that's probably, to answer your question, that's probably been a big part of my personality since my maybe mid early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I recreationally, and I've talked about this a little bit, but I run a lot. I like endurance running. I know it's awful. It's like the most miserable thing you could do with your time. What I like about it is like on a Saturday, if nothing's going on, I can say, hey, I'm going to go run for 3 hours and I don't have to make another decision.
Okay. And, yeah. That's a way to shut the mind off.
I just shut it off and I just go work out whatever issues I'm thinking about. And I like the suffering of it. I like being tested and being like, are you going to walk back to the car after mile 17, or, you know, are you going to keep jogging?
Right.
And I don't go fast. Like, I'm not a fast guy. I'm not any of that. With all those things. So it's not so much that I want to win medals. I just want to see if I can do it or not. And I think that's what I enjoy about trading is, can I do it? Can I show up today and do it? Can I be not bothered by losing? Can I be, you know, can I be bold to like buy higher on a you know, stock or on an index that's moving my direction? Do I have that or do I not have that? And I think ultimately what that produces is, you know, like a person in real time with the people around me who can take on life the way that it should be, you know, taken on. It's like, we'll always find more money. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, right, there's always a way to find more, like,
especially if you're testing yourself.
Well, yeah, you're like,
expanding your capacities.
You can always go back to work. You know, my grandfather always said, like, you can always, you know, sweep the street. And I think there's a quality of that. Like when I started independently doing creative work, like I just kept a USPS like job application on my desk.
Right.
Like, well, I can always go deliver the mail.
Right.
Yeah. Fall back.
And that sounds great, actually. Like delivering the mail sounds cool. Like, yeah, you know, sunshine most days, winter the other. Like, it's cool.
That'd get your 3-hour run in, deliver the mail. You get to run. Time.
Yeah. And so
you'd be surprised how often postal workers injure themselves, though. That's something I happen to know something about.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, so maybe I don't want to create like some sort of like false dream that is like such a, you know, like a fantasy of delivering the mail. I'm just saying. I worked as a lifty, as a lift operator for a season at a ski resort. I thought that was going to be awesome and it sucked.
Right.
So I'm not necessarily, I don't want to devalue like the work that we get to do as traders and as people in markets. I just think that there's something so much more interesting and so much better. And if we pursue that, like it does produce the P&L results that we want. And really it's reverse. It's that like if you pursue those P&L results, like you end up losing on both ends.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I would agree with that. I did make a note there. The market's testing us. I love that framework or that idea or that approach. And I'm going to try to adopt that, I think, because
it both depersonalizes something and personalizes something at the same time.
I'm a competitive person. So like, if I think of it as like, hey, the market's testing me. Oh, I'm not going to let him win.
No.
The stock stays where I said it was going to. I'm not going to rebuy this unless I see this set up because you know what? I want to win. And that's right. That matters more to me than the P&L does.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what's so cool is I think we plug into this pretty consistently with most people is making those shifts.
Yeah.
Making those shifts are pretty natural. Like, and that's, it's a way that we're sort of dialing into our humanity and exploiting who we are as people to get what we want, you know, to get the job done in the way that we want to get it done versus using kind of our weaker selves, right? The weaker selves is like, you're taking something from me. Like you can't have that.
Right.
You know, and we reframe that and say, well, actually, like, do I have what it takes to take this out right now?
Mm-hmm.
And those weaker selves might also be present, right? I mean, this is where it gets into more of the parts work, which I just want to say back to your website. One of my favorite parts of your website is when you're talking about formulating one's process and you have a section there called the team. And at first, when I read that, I thought you meant like, okay, you got to have your team of people, like, you know, maybe your spouse isn't the best support. Maybe they are.
Right, right.
Maybe you have a collaborator, you know, you got to share with somebody else what your process is. But no, you don't mean that. You mean your inner team. You mean the team of parts that are online with you while you're trading. And you need to get to know these team members or system in yourself.
Maybe they'll stop shouting if we listen to them.
Yeah. And I wonder if we can go into that a little bit more specifically.
Yeah.
Because it's very interesting. And like just hearing some from you about a little more about that.
Totally. Yeah. So that was kind of a breakthrough for me. And I was having a conversation with another friend and he referred to me as, he referred to me as Adrenaline Man.
What?
That was kind of the nickname that he gave me. I thought, oh, that's funny. And right, it's like how I appear to him, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a guy who's like kind of always chasing a rush. And there's definitely a big part of me that is that. But it got me thinking. And then I mentioned this on my website, but like Van Thorpe talks about kind of parts negotiation. And so I kind of ran with that in my mind. How does this work? And the idea with parts work is that you would show up and you would, whether it be each day, I mean, I have an outline and we'll talk about that, but you'd show up each day and just figure out kind of like what parts of your personality are coming out, what's in your mind today. And so what did I do with that? Well, I like formalize that. So I have a part of me that is very systems oriented and has a high expectation for systems. So things should be this way. Here's order. Here's how it should be, right? Here's the entry. Here's the exit. Here are the, you know, statistical qualities, but that's not necessarily who I operate as right. in my day-to-day life. So as day-to-day me, the most often I show up to my desk kind of as, it's kind of like this adrenaline man quality. It's like one of my favorite setups is just like a giant red down 15-minute candle mm-hmm. on an uptrend. That's like my favorite. It's not even a setup. It's just a big candle. I just like to buy those.
Right.
So then how do I bring in my systems manager to make that a profitable action? Right. And so I hire a quality in myself, right? And we could get as funny with this as we want, but I can hire, systems engineer Steve. He can come in. Mm-hmm. He's gonna look at every 15-minute bar that goes straight down in an uptrend, and he's gonna figure out how we can make money on that.
Oh my God, you've named your internal parts. Totally. I love it. Yeah. Systems engineer Steve. Yes, hell yes.
Okay, so Steve comes in, and this is just another part of who I am, right? So Steve comes in and he figures all that stuff out and he gives me mm-hmm. some stats to run with. And so then it's Adrenaline Man's job to come in. And again, this is all, you have to just run with it, all right? If you're going to do trading for a full-time gig, you got to be a little weird.
Yeah.
And so that's just how it is. And so Adrenaline Man comes in and does the executing, mm-hmm. right? And so, there's another part of me. I spent a lot of time kind of in like after year one, between the end of year one and the end of year two, kind of at break even. Mm-hmm. And I kind of looked at like, well, how did I do that? To be honest, that's like pretty aggravating. And that's pretty great. It's like a great skill just to be able to sit at break even for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, impressive after 1 year too.
Well, yeah, I was like, okay, this is cool. And so what part of me was doing that? Well, I have a part of me that's a really intense risk manager that just says, I don't want to lose a single dollar. And that goes really against the thrill seeking like guy that wants to buy the scariest candle. And so I have to figure out how to get those two guys to work together. Because if I just let the guy buy crazy stuff, I'm going to lose all my money. But if I just let, the other part of me that wants to never lose a dollar, if I let that guy take over, I'm never going to make anything.
Right.
So these two really competing qualities have to exist inside of one person, right? And that's really difficult. And so if I can identify them, I can kind of give them names and give them a little bit of like a personality, right? Part of my team, I can kind of hire them or I can kind of delegate out certain things to each one of them. So there are times when the market sucks for my strategy and I say, all right, like risk manager part is going to just, I'm flipping that on and like, we're over it. Like we're not doing any of this.
Yeah. And ideally you have choice, right? Like one of the terms in internal family systems, IFS, which is a huge psychological modality these days mm-hmm. is that you get blended with parts, right? Parts like take over and you might not even realize it. So you're taking action from a part that you haven't explicitly invited in to be a part of this situation. So you're like taking action. You are this part, right? So what I'm hearing from you is you are explicitly inviting a certain part to drive.
Very much. Oh, that's such a good way to put it. Yeah, very, very much. So I would say there's kind of two phases of it, right? There's the first phase, which is like you've got voices that are kind of influencing your decision-making. Mm-hmm. And you're not really sure where they're coming from. And so you're sort of behaving based on them, but you're not really sure why. And it's not really organized. We probably all have the wing it part, mm-hmm. right? The like, I took a few stops. I had my risk was tight and I was following my strategy. And then I just started to wing it,
Yep.
And that's when there's a part of you that kind of opens up to just going off script. And that's, if we're recognizing that we have a tendency for that, then we can kind of name that part and say, hang on, starting to feel that guy coming in. All right. I'm starting to feel like Wing It Wayne is kind of, he's pressuring me over here to just start taking trades. And that's when I know I need to employ my risk management part and just say, hey, today's not for me. Right. Or I override that somehow. Yeah.
By inviting the different parts of your team to take over or take the reins, do you find that makes it easier to like either not hear them when they're speaking out of turn, or does that quiet them down because they know they're going to get their turn? Because you sounds like you have a place for every team member. Like they know they're going to get a chance to play at some point. Maybe they'll wait their turn.
Yeah. So that's where that was a surprise for me. So when I first started doing this, I just wanted to understand what elements were at play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was really a safety precaution. It was like, okay, how do I not open myself up to randomness? You know,
yeah.
Randomness from some sort of personality need, some thrill seeking, maybe like thrill seeking in the market is not super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I eliminate that? Or, you know, randomness in my data? Like I've sat patiently all day for a setup and I took one, but you know, the next one's not coming. Maybe how do I deal with the part of me that wants to fudge it?
Yeah.
You know,
and yeah,
just like
yeah.
take something. But what happened was I started to do that more and more. I started to listen to those parts. And now I've actually been able to kind of integrate each one of them into my process and I give them the microphone. So my systems part is basically in charge of, and I employ this quality in myself. So think of it that way. I'm employing this quality in myself to look for new setups, find statistical advantage, and then review my process. And so at the end of each day, I kind of switch into systems guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So systems guy is looking through what we did, is evaluating, was it good? Was it bad? You know, is kind of critical and is kind of like looking for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But when I come into the market, basically moving into towards the open, I want to sort of be in that mental space. I'm visualizing my setups. I'm visualizing my perfect execution. Like, what is this going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to switch into kind of my natural state. And once the market is open and I'm kind of ready to go, I want to switch into my natural state. And that natural state is like aggressive. It's assertive. It's, I don't mind taking a loss. I'm not particularly like a perfectionist mm-hmm. person, but I have a quality of that I employ when I'm trying to imagine what setups and what my process looks like. But then once the market happens, I need to be a little bit more like present and a little bit more in the moment and willing to adapt to the situation. But I don't want to let that become thrill seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I don't want to let that become just making it up.
It's gotta
I
be still want to hold.
Yeah. And so I really employ. So it's almost like there's two people who are working together at the desk.
Yep. Yep.
Right. As if you think of it like a film, you've got the director and you've got a producer, right? You've got the guy who keeps the budget going. And then you've got the guy who's like a creative, like maniac, you know what
right.
I mean? It's like, like coming up with random ideas and wants to add scenes to things that, you know, he shouldn't. And the producer's constantly saying, yeah, but we only have X million dollars for this show.
It's like, and you can choose one of those three. You can't do all
of them. Totally. Yeah. Like you need to have both of those, right? Because as traders, as people who are in markets, like, we probably have a natural tendency to want to be involved,
mm-hmm.
to want to get in, to want to do stuff. And so we need to constantly keep that sort of in check. But if the in check part is primary, well, then the likelihood that we're actually going to even take a trade is pretty low.
Mm.
I think I've been through that swing before. Yeah, I've been through both sides of that.
Okay, yeah. And that's like, we need to sort of let that go
mm-hmm.
and allow our more present, our more in the moment, our less perfectionist self come in and do the work. And then, so I have a big part of me that just doesn't care about any of this,
mm-hmm.
like truly. And we've mentioned that a little bit, but like, I really have a part of me that is just totally would live out of his van, you know,
like, right.
That would be great. And that's the part of me that I really employ at the end of the day, green or red. I just say like, that's who I am now. I am that part that just thinks this is all meaningless. It's all just numbers on a screen. Like, this is going to sound weird. It's like almost like an anti-capitalist part of me that's just like, you know, like I just want to, I want to go sleep in the dirt. I want to go, you know, climb a rock. I don't care if I'm homeless. There's a part of me that is that as well. And so what I've learned is then I employ that part for a handful of hours. He gets to take the mic. I usually, you know, I do a bike ride, I go for a run, I do a little workout. Like I do something that just feels very present, very in the moment, and feels like I'm adding value to my existence here mm-hmm. right now. And then I do that for a period of time. And then I let systems guy back in. Systems guy comes back in. We review trades. We look for setups. You know what I mean? So there's kind of the cycle. So for me, I've learned to leverage those qualities because I can be systems guy, right? He's mm-hmm. kind of my main operator outside of the market hours. And then I come in and I can, you know, execute as sort of this sort of thrill seeking, you know, performer, you know, who's in that moment. And then once that's done, I want to shift to the next guy, which really thinks all this is dumb and just wants to go outside, you know?
Oh my God, man, I'm feeling this click into place.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what's come out of it. And so my process really is formed around those three cycles. It's, I'm a human being, like I'm a dad, like I'm engaged with my kids. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm connected with them personally, like I'm giving them memories, right? And then we shut that off. We go into business mode. We run the stats, you know?
Yeah.
We do the accounting work, and then we switch into action mode. And that's how I kind of run my process. And that's when I think about like what the ideal trading mindset is for me, it's kind of all three of those at different times.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's almost like it's like you're the manager, like the head guy who's trying to pick which team member is the best for the job that you have to do right now.
Totally. Totally. And it's no different than what we do in markets where we organize the data, right? Mm-hmm. So my brain is just organizing the data of who I am, like what qualities in my personality need to just be satisfied in these, and how can I use those different parts of me to get what I need, out of my work.
This is wonderful. It's exactly the conversation I've wanted to be in. I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Is this conscious on your part when you make these shifts? Like, do you have a kind of unconscious competence right now where you just get into that state, or are you consciously handing the reins over to the different parts still?
Okay. So it started unconscious, and just kind of through repetition and seeing it, I could see when I would show up and I would go like, man, why didn't I take half of those setups that came by today? Like, why not?
Right.
And I would say, oh, okay, well, I was too concerned about systems still. And then I've had other days, you know, where you come in, you're just like, why don't we just buy it with a wide stop, you know? And
yep.
Okay, hang on. Who's that? Who's telling me that?
Yeah.
Get out of here, you know? Like, get the office. And we not all had, right? So, you know, it was definitely just subconscious there. Mm-hmm. And then in reviewing and through creating what I refer to as a feedback loop of like, why did I do what I did? It's become this, it's for me now, it's extremely refined.
Amazing.
It's extremely conscious. Yeah. It's really part of my process before I put on a trade, like before I sort of activate my live account, is getting into that adrenaline side, like the side of me that's ready to put on risk and kind of can manage all that. And I know, like mentally, I know what it feels like to be systems guy. And I know what it feels like then to be risk guy. And then I know what it feels like to be dirtbag guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, president.
I was just about to ask you, just to clarify something. So the different personalities, I noticed that most of them, like they seem to have positive attributes that you chose to focus on, but you just called one of them dirtbag guy. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a positive too in my mind.
No, I'm wondering if that's something that you tried to stay away from. Did you try to stay away from that intentionally? Like we try to look for the positives and all the pieces of us, or is it okay to know that this isn't something that I want to, this is a guy I want to shun from my consciousness while I'm trading?
Yeah. Okay. So by focusing on the positive, the negative goes away.
Mm, okay.
So simply by, so I respect all three of these players in my mind. Do you know what I mean? As part of my team, I appreciate them. They're, again, it's funny to think of it in third person like that. This is a little bizarre, but we're not afraid to get a little weird.
I
think of it like that. I think it like, okay, so there are three guys. I really like them all. They cannot do every job.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yep.
And by putting them in their right place, they become something you can appreciate. So one quality that I see with a lot of people, I'm not really this way, this is going to sound funny, is I see a lot of spontaneity.
Yeah. Innovation, and we like to call it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, which I love. I'm not really that spontaneous of a person in my regular life. That's not like a huge part of my personality. So like I've got a great friend and he's amazing with like, oh, I just didn't see anything today or this or that. And I took my kids to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. That's not something that I ever do. Like, not something that comes up for me. It's like, I didn't see anything today, so I went to my other secondary plan, like for me. So it's just not a big part of who I am. So how do we figure out spontaneity in trading is terrible? Like, I'm just throwing stuff out there. Like, that's never going to produce what you want. So how do we take that spontaneity? And we don't make it negative. We don't like condemn the fact that you're like, you can be Mr. Random in the market. We go, hang on, let's find a positive outlet for that, right? So you have a statistical quality, you have a process. And then if that's not working, let's go open you up to just doing something else, man.
Use it elsewhere.
So, you know, like go take your kids.
Yeah,
totally. Go to, and then you can love that part of who you are, right? You can appreciate that that's part of who you are. You just know that it doesn't benefit you in markets.
Not in a live environment, but I would say that maybe the time to cut him loose is during replays when you're doing your research and development, because he may stumble upon something that systems guy might really like to develop further.
Oh, yes. That's an incredibly good point. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so he's an incredible, like he's a very talented trader and he's a great idea guy. Mm-hmm. Like he just has ideas out the wazoo.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
I can't even look at this much stuff, man.
Yeah, you love that guy. You love that guy.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's exhausted.
Yeah, so I bring in some of my systems quality and we collaborate a bit and he just is like, he's like on everything all at once. I don't understand. My brain is fried. Do you know what I mean? Like toast. And he's just all over everything. And then, so I bring in a sense of rigidity to like how we might exploit that. And then we both kind of go for it. And that works out really well. And so you're right. So we can take things that don't work great. And it's really just like if you've ever managed employees, you know that there are bad employees. Like they're just straight up people who you got to fire.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, you get people on the bus and they're just not in the right position.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you transition them to a different position and they do fantastic.
Yep.
And so, you know, if you think of it that way and you think about yourself that way, I have a handful of attributes and it's really just a matter of me managing them and, you know, in a way that they benefit the team.
Every part has a place and a role.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, people love to like, I don't know, people love to try to change who they are. Shuffle. You know what I mean? Just shuffle it around. Like, stop trying to like, when I work with somebody from a coaching standpoint and myself, like, I don't expect like radical change. I just expect to like rework the team in such a way that it gets the results that you want versus like, I'm never going to do this again. It's like, how about you just keep doing that, but in a different space?
It's so good.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
There was something in there that you said just a minute ago, and I can't remember what it was now, but there was just this moment of like, okay, let's give these guys names. Let's give them a place to actually play, and maybe they'll stop showing up when they're not wanted because they're getting the attention that they're craving.
Totally. It's truly kind of a bizarre concept, but its effectiveness is wild.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to identify it like that, like with a name.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of have this concept that, like if you can name it, you can control it. Like if you have attributes,
right,
whatever they are, like we can do a lot. Basically, I talk about this in a post, like primary colors. Like, so, you know, there's an infinite number of colors, but if we can understand, you know, the three main ones, we can basically paint anything.
Right, right.
And so there's a quality of just like, can I grab onto it? Can I create handles here? Mm-hmm. And if I can, as a human being, like I'm designed to be able to manage that.
Right.
Like, creatively, like I'll come up with a way to put that in the right place.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like it sounds like you're more of like a, like the bigger part of you is like the rigid, structured, but you're also working a creative space. Like your main job is, I remember last time we talked, you were doing stuff for like Life of Pi, some of the animation scenes there. So
totally.
I always find it interesting when somebody who is artistic and creative actually is coming at it, like their personality, one of the main drivers is actually like the opposite of what you'd expect for that.
Yeah, in the career space, I'm a bit of an anomaly in that way as well. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's beauty in patterns. And
got to work with what you got, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think what we want to do next is a little, I asked you ahead of time if we could do a mini turbo coaching session.
Totally.
Working with some of this stuff. So
yeah, so you guys filled out some PDFs that I have on the website, which are pretty cool. And they just kind of get us started on like basically having a conversation about, you know, what parts of your personality are showing up. Mm-hmm. And what are the main personality traits that you sort of see in yourself. And so you guys both filled those out. Maybe Kyle will come back to yours another time.
Yeah, I'd like to let Cleo get a chance to do one of these.
Yay.
I've sat in Rich's a psychological couch a couple times already.
All right, awesome. I'm excited.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite. Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Okay, cool. So there are a couple of things. You guys can't see this like from an audience perspective, but just a couple of things that sort of came up. And Cleo, I saw sort of three main themes, like in your early part of the, you have a very playful and present personality. Mm-hmm. You mentioned like talking, like connecting with your husband, right, is like really important. Like it's a high priority. And then you mentioned, like playing with your daughter is a really high priority for you, right?
I mean, yeah, there's some details there. We're not married, okay. Not mine by birth, but yes, sure. General familial stuff. Yes.
Human beings are meaningful to you. And I think that's, yes. That's okay. So, and then you have another part where you said, I asked a question about traveling and kind of getting ready for a trip. Like what's the last thing, like what's the most, like when do you feel ready to go?
Something I look forward to.
Yeah. And you said just like being organized.
Like being complete. Like packed. Like once I'm packed, okay. The trip can begin.
Okay. That's super cool. And so those are interesting things. So just to give some context, my answer for the trip one, that particular trip question is like kind of getting in the last run before the trip starts. So I know I'm going to sit on a plane or whatever for a couple of days. Like I feel great. I don't really even care if everything's packed. I just feel best if like I've run some energy out of the tank. So just to give some context, like people give really different answers in those.
Yeah.
And you know, yours is really cool. So what that tells me, and you can kind of lean into this, but it sounds like you have like a pretty high type A quality, like that likes things organized, that likes it all put together. Does that sort of resonate? Like, I don't know what your career is and what you kind of do outside of this, but I'm imagining like you have kind of a type A quality. Is that true?
Yeah. I hold a lot of complexity in general and am really organized with like the sequencing of things. And I've done a lot of group facilitation and mediation and track like, okay, different sequences of conversation. And like, I hold a lot of complexity in my mind.
Okay, so that's really good. That's really good to know. And so, you know, and then you have the other part of you that's like very human, like very much a person that likes to relate to people. And that even in your answer there, you just expressed that, like, your organization has been directed towards facilitating conversations with other people.
Yeah.
And connection with other people, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so then if we take that into, let's take it into like systems development or like how you're looking at markets. So you have the ability probably to sort of manage large amounts of data and find application, right? So in markets, so you're looking around. So do you spend a lot of time like building strategies, and what does that kind of look like? What does your sort of strategy development look like? Is that a big part of your time, or is it?
Yeah. One of the things that like integrates here with this first part that you mentioned of my joy, like I feel like joy and fun is such an important part for me. Like it's one of the things I said at the very beginning of my training, like if it's not fun, I'm not doing it.
Totally.
And once I stop having fun, I stop. Mm. It's like not good for me to not be having fun. And fun can be a loss too. Like you said earlier, like, oh, it's whatever. I'm testing this thing and whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's some combination of fun and then development or like, yeah, I love backtesting actually. Okay. It's one of my favorite parts about this. And I like, mostly I really like seeing the relationship between NQ and ES. Like that's something that I reference a lot in my trading. I primarily trade the NQ or MNQ, but then use the ES as a reference a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So it comes in.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. And do you find that there are times where you get sort of trapped in the backtest loop, like where you feel like it's, you know what I mean? Like where...
Well, TradingView doesn't have enough data for me to really get too caught
up. Yeah, that's a great point. TradingView backtesting is a little, questionable.
But I mean, again, once it stops being fun, I stop. So it's like, you know, if I can get up to 100 data points, I'm like that's good enough for me. To try something at least in a sim context.
Okay. So those were the two big pieces that I saw was the kind of playful presence that you have, right? Which is like, I do want it to be fun. Like that came through in your questions, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then you have an ability to, so, you know, managing big data, but then when that stuff starts to break down for you, it seems like when you have an expectation of that big data playing out, but that isn't necessarily happening in the market at the time. That's like a high frustration, right? Or like being stopped out on a good trade, just like from, I mean, these are things that frustrate everybody, like being stopped out by a few ticks and then having a trade work. Mm-hmm. That's like classic annoyance.
I hate that.
Oh, worst. Yep.
Worst.
NQ special.
Yep.
Special.
Had that today, in fact.
Okay. Yeah. NQ's favorite thing to do. Stop you out and then do what it was supposed to do. So, you know, do you feel like in there, the backtesting can develop expectations for what kind of the market's behavior should be in a certain situation? What does that sort of look like?
Yeah. One thing, though, that's coming as we're talking about this is another thing that I want to include is depending on what's happening in my life, in my work, and in my relational life, that influences my whole outlook in trading and whether I'm enjoying it. And I wish that I actually would use this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm navigating a complexity, which I do a lot of in my work, it's really quite something with all the people and dynamics. And if I'm overwhelmed some morning, trading feels burdensome to me and less fun. Yeah. And sometimes I don't stop because I'm also still excited about it. So there's this, like, that's where I'm in conflict with myself.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. And what I'm kind of seeing, and I relate to this very much, is that if like all the things are right, everything's there, the data's there, the information is there, I'm ready to go. Like you're a professional, like you operate as a professional in your working life. And then you bring that into the markets. And then when you're there and you are trading, like some people don't have playfulness and fun as part of their trading plan. And so what we want to do is we want to just recognize, hey, weird as it might be, this is part of my advantage. this is part of who I am as a trader. And a big part of this is accepting it sort of without criticism. And so you mentioned that each one of my characters sort of has a positive quality. Mm-hmm. And so what we really want to do is you want to look and say, okay, so I do have a part of me that just wants this to be enjoyable. Trading isn't always enjoyable. That's just kind of part of the deal.
Yeah.
Flag that and say, I'm not doing this anymore. And so make that a real part of your plan that says, when the fun part of me starts to raise their hand and say, I don't like it. You go, okay, cool. All right. We're going to just put this on hold for a minute. Do you know what I mean? And we're going to come back.
Yeah.
We're going to come back another day when this is when
the fun part wins. I've given it that power and I want it to have that.
Yes.
Power.
And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll fight against the grain. And so we'll say, no, trading is work. I'm here to do a job. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And the fun part is over there just screaming. Do you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just screaming and it's yeah. saying, like, I hate everything about this. This is a waste of my time, you know? And then if you already have like a lot of, you know, most of us independents have like a job, like we have, you know, we're not typically relying on trading as our sole income. And so
yeah,
that fun part will start to use that against you. It'll say, look, we already have a job. Who cares? You know, and whatever that looks like. And
definitely I get that message a lot.
Okay. You need to listen to that. That's all it is. You say, okay, hang on. Instead of fighting this fun part of me, this present part of me that likes to connect with other human beings, let me go. And actually, let me just set trading aside for a second. I'm not in the right zone, right, to do this. Let me just go and listen to that part. And so what you might do is you might say, hey, what are some of the identifiers that let me know if I am overwhelmed, right? Like I'm overwhelmed with the other tasks that I have to do and trading just needs to be set aside for a second. And then what parts of me, like what thoughts can I identify as being kind of ready for the trading day? So, you know, I similarly, I have a lot of other things kind of going on. And if I try to take the complexity of my normal life and the complexity of markets and I smash them together, the fun part of me gets upset.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is we just want to identify that. And so you might look at that and say, let's explore the triggers for that part of me. What part of me isn't having fun? And let's say even that you say, okay, having a plan, getting ready and getting stopped out by a few ticks and then watching the market go is a trigger for me. And that is an unpleasant experience. It's an unpleasant experience for many of us. Over time, you might develop the ability to re-engage. Okay. You might develop the ability to re-engage in time and to do that based on your system. But right now, the fun part of you is taking over and is saying, well, that sucked. You know, or that, let's say that's the technical part of you saying, this is unfair. This is an unfair.
Mm-hmm. I got to get back in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much, I feel like my biggest drawdowns are always from those sequential entries, you know?
It's like, yep.
So, like it works one time, you're like, ah, I'm tenacious, you know, I'm really getting
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
It works. And then you're like, nope, 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 you know. yep. You just have to accept it. You say, okay, so then let's even look at that and say, how do we cultivate that part of you? So one of the things that I saw, you have an adaptability in kind of in the answers, like you have an adaptability, you have an ability to kind of think on the fly. Right. Like, and like kind of mm-hmm. even that in this conversation, you know, and in a conversation with people, and I'm sure with your normal work, there's an ability to improv.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is something. So let's just try to employ that into the right space. So when it comes to entries, improv can be okay. Can be kind of bad, can be unhelpful.
Yeah.
Right. We want to plan, but where improv is really powerful is in the moment you took that two tick stop out. And price went on and you say, hey, we're just going to move. Like that was unexpected. You've probably been in a group call or a group lecture where someone says something weird, depending on how personal the subject matters are. I don't know what that looks like, but you might have someone who just like throws out a curveball, you know?
Yeah,
and you're like, for sure. Okay, how do I not derail this whole situation? So what are those tools? So
basketball stupid. Sorry. No. Like that?
It is stupid, isn't it, Kyle? Yeah. No.
Sorry.
Okay, so like what part of you and what does that look like in your normal life where, and I know this is kind of all on the fly, but in your normal life, where do you deal with interruptions and sort of something going off the rails? And what does that look like?
I mean, actually kind of, in a way, what I just did with Kyle, like I will typically validate the thing. He says this weird thing, basketball sucks. I'm like, yeah, it does. And then I'll bring it back in some way.
Cool.
Like generally I value, I mean, I didn't bring it back. It was, could have been a little more artful, but like I value yes anding reality. Like there's enough that comes from so many directions that let's just yes and everything and have focus. So I have been trained in that in facilitation, and it's generally a way that I find myself living.
I'd say just taking part in these conversations, like being open to even like participating in like interviewing people that you've never met and being able to hold a conversation and adapt and move and ask the follow-up questions. I think that's a great example.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's take that part. That's a, that is, it's a fantastic quality, and not everybody has that quality. Okay. So we want to highlight things in ourselves that are kind of unique and special, and we want to direct them towards the outcomes that we want. So you say, okay, instead of taking a stop and going, no, you know, I had this plan, or no, I'm going to impose my will upon the market or whatever, you say, you take the stop and you go, all right, yes. And, you know, yes. And what are we doing next? Yes. And what's the next setup? And
oh my God, Andrew, I'm having all of these voices come in and say like, no, 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 no. This isn't like, this is confronting for me, I think, in a good way.
Cool.
That's funny because my voices are saying, yes, that's brilliant. Let's do that. Let's try that. That might work.
I mean, so this morning, for example, and I only know from my own experience, I don't know how you guys traded this morning, but like I said, I got stopped out on Amazon and I got stopped out on Google, and I said, yes, and what's next? Mm-hmm. And just to put it into your context, I mean, I have a little different wording, but that was essentially what was happening is, yes, and what trade is next, you know? And so if you can just do that, that puts you in a little bit more flow state, and it puts you in a position where you're using skills that you already have, parts of who you are, and you're you're taking who you are and you are making it more, right? You're making it more and you're making it bigger and better and applying it to the situation with a little more nuance. And then we get to be happy about our qualities, right? And and we can kind of celebrate, you know, it's sort of like, I don't know, our unique skills. And bring those in and apply them well. Yeah.
I feel like you're kind of rocking my world in a way that feels confronting and really good. Like I have another part of me that's very rule-based, very organized, you know, the manager that comes in and is like, okay, you took that stop. Like, nope, back away from the markets. You know, like we're done. Go take a, go on a run, go do something else.
Yeah.
Or can you get back in some way that makes sense? But it's stressful at that point. And I don't actually deploy that yes ander in that moment. And it feels a little risky. These are the markets we're talking about, and it's expensive. But I do believe that there's an edge for me to actually lean into with this. Like I haven't been using that as much as I probably could.
Yes. I put down, I have some notes, and one of the qualities that I, you know, and again, you know it better than I do. So, you know the nuance, and what I wondered is if kind of your type A personality tends to override your sort of natural personality. And when those two things override, that's kind of the pinch. Like I think everybody sort of has a pinch where things go poorly for them in the market. So mine, I mentioned earlier, was sort of like things got too tedious and I just couldn't tank it anymore. You know, it's like that tedious quality was my pinch. And it sounds like that spontaneity, that ability to kind of flex. So type A is really organized and is getting the job done. And then is sort of overriding your more human quality and that more present quality. And so if you can find a way to sort of operate those two together and have them kind of, you know, collaborating as you interact with the market, I say this all the time, you're still going to lose. You're still going to win. Like you're still going to win. You're still going to lose. But the quality of it is just so much better.
Yeah, and it's going to be more me present, more of that part that I want to be present.
Yeah, and like you're accepting who you are in each one of those moments and saying like, win or lose, like I'm glad that I'm this kind of person. And that's pretty cool.
Amazing.
You know?
I love this.
Can we take a step back just for a minute? Because Cleo, you mentioned that there's voices in your head that are shouting no. I'm curious which voices those were, or if you can, like what is the pushback coming from? I'm kind of curious about that.
You know, I think I've been influenced by other traders in a way around like, you got to have a system and stick to it. That's kind of a general wisdom that comes in, you know, back test your system, have the discipline, At least that's been a message. Like, I also have a very disciplined part of me. I'm a type one on the Enneagram, if I don't, if that means anything to you or not, but I really have a lot of discipline when I want to, and I can. So that part comes in. It's just like, wait a minute, what are we doing?
Is there a part of you that gets upset when the free-willing side or the improv side works? Like, does your system
absolutely.
And rule-based
I'm dumbfounded yeah. by it. It's like, oh shit, this calls everything into question.
Like, that's gonna do it, and like all this hard work is like, it's almost disrespectful.
Yeah, wait, discipline is easier. Discipline is just easier. You know, I can do that. It's a little gritty and a little harsh, mm-hmm. but I can do it.
Interesting.
But it's not enjoyable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Really, until I'm winning a lot. Like, the disciplined one mm-hmm. just wants mm-hmm. the P&L.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of what I find is we all end up in the same spot. We just take different paths to it. And so what we're talking about really is the nuance between mechanical, like system-based discipline, and in the moment sort of ad lib, adjusting for real-time conditions, because markets are never black and white, mm-hmm. right? They're always right. changing. It's just we're basically like following a group of people around as they, you know, get sloshed around by the waves on a big boat. You know, it's this crazy thing. And to try to like...
People at Walmart.
Yeah, it's like...
getting stuck behind their cart. Yeah.
To try to solve that with math, we're going to die, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
While at the same time, if we let improv in too much, we're going to blow up every time. And so, so what we're talking about, and this is what I think is really helpful with the identity work specifically, is you can start to find that nuance. So I struggled for a long time. Am I mechanical or am I discretionary? Am I mechanical? Am I discretionary? And I refer to myself as a rules-based discretionary trader. I just have simple rules. Yeah. It's like, okay, so if this breaks, if I'm long and this level breaks, I am hands off, you know? And so that moment is black and white for me, but where I enter, how big I am when I enter, like where I take profits a little bit, those variables I kind of let breathe, you know?
Yeah.
But my consequences of a trade, like my risk for the trade is just, I don't make decisions around that because I don't have the ability to make good decisions around that.
Interesting.
Just because of how, like, we all have money attachment, you know, even the guy who's like, doesn't care about it, cares about it, you know, like there's a quality of that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that's a black and white for me. It's just like, a fixed stop level is just always black and white. And I know that sounds silly to kind of boil it down to such a simple thing, but how I got there was through how do I take these identity pieces of who I am and allow certain parts to kind of be bigger here and other parts to be bigger here, and then find that sweet spot between mechanical and discretionary. Right. And that's kind of what you're saying, Cleo, is like, you just would prefer mechanical. The answer is right. You know, and you mentioned one of the places that you've suffered or, you know, have struggled or you take bigger losses is when like you're certain that a thing is going to happen and it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And then I don't set a stop.
Yeah. Okay. So,
yeah.
I thought I wrote that.
there's not a person listening to this who has not done that more than one time, many times. Okay. So how do we adjust for that? And how do we figure that out? Well, that's part of that is I'm just guessing, is the part of you that says, I have a system. I want the job to be done. I want it to be complete. And if I put the trade on and I don't set a stop, the job is done. You know, there's a quality of like the bags are packed and everything's in there. And so you go, okay, complete part, you know, like you're messing with my system here, you know? And in that spot, we take the present part a little bit and we say, hey, this is what actually this moment needs. This moment doesn't need a hard yes or a hard no. This moment needs a little bit of understanding. And then we take that and we go, okay, this is the harder thing to do. The harder thing to do is a real-time adjustment of what we want, you know, and to maybe even let go of the outcome that we would like to have for a more nuanced, more appropriate reaction to markets in that moment. And we say, okay, there's that. I'm taking that present part of me. And then the stop, start to identify that stop out as your moment of completion. So putting on the trade and being right isn't the moment of completion. Taking the stop and being finished with the trade is the moment of completion. And so you can satisfy that completion quality. I think this is actually a huge part of succeeding in markets, is that we have to identify for us, what does it mean to be done? What does it mean to be complete here? And if we can identify that, and you have a big part of that inside of who you are as, you know, as a person, well, what checkboxes can we like what healthy checkboxes can we use to declare completion in the market? So you put the trade on, you followed your process. I took a stop. It is complete. Do you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and now instead of identifying it as I was in the market and I was right, now I'm complete. You go, I followed my process. I used a little bit of nuance, but not too much. I took my stop or I took my profit. I reviewed my trade. It is done. I am complete. And now I'm going to transition back to being a present person. And I'm going to transition just, I'm going to let type A go. Okay. Type A, you're tired. Okay. You need a break. All right. Go take five. I'm going to now just be a person. I'm going to relate to a few people. I'm going to call somebody, or I'm going to, you know, send a message to somebody, or I'm going to, you know, reach out to someone close to me and feel that connection, right, as a person. And then you go, okay, markets are closed, back to type A for a minute, you know, and what does this look like for me for tomorrow? And, you know, so sort of using some of the transitioning qualities that I mentioned, even for my own process, like can be really beneficial there, but it's just identify it.
Yeah, that's so big, right? Just identifying, just identifying who's present, who's forward here. Then there's choice.
Then there's choice. Right? That's exactly right. Then we can control it. We can manage it. Like we can put it in its place. Yeah.
So the concept of different people making up me is fascinating. I can't believe I haven't stumbled upon this before, but to give voices to names to the voices that are shouting in your head and clamoring for control.
Yeah.
And then being able to put on my manager hat, which is something I actually enjoyed, was the people managing aspect. It's one of the things I like about doing the podcast, having multiple people's schedules that I got to try to go and like sort through and figure out who goes where. And still meet a deadline. Like I kind of enjoyed that part of it. And
100%.
Now I can actually lean into that aspect of my personality in a way that's actually helpful to my trading.
Yeah.
I freaking love this.
Yeah. And it allows you to be sort of self-critical in a way that's not mean. I think a lot of people end up struggling with that, where like, I only say nice things about myself. I only give myself positive feedback. And I give myself really terrible feedback sometimes.
Right.
But I do it as a manager who's trying to encourage an employee to just like do the thing they're supposed to do, you know, like,
right.
It's okay.
There's a time and a place for your antics.
But that's right. Yeah. Like, hey,
right before FOMC is not it.
You're going to have to do better on this one next time, my friend.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So there's a warmth, there's a warmth, but also like being extremely honest, you know.
I'm curious, related to this, if there are, like, one of the things that I know is very common in parts work is there are parts of us that we don't like often. And even in IFS language, you know, they're called exiles, like parts of us that we have exiled to some deep, dark cavity of our being, and we don't really, but then those parts actually come up and they kind of dominate the space if we're not careful or welcoming them, or like the relationship to the parts of ourselves that we don't like. I'm curious if you can speak to some of that, because I imagine that's relevant here.
Yeah. Yeah. So even that, like, it's a good segue, because going from, you know, I'm very honest with myself, and I'm honest with myself in a negative way sometimes. And maybe that's, I found that to be slightly unique, but I'm not condemning. Okay. And that's something that I've really learned just like over, I'm not someone with like a perfect, you know, like a perfect untraumatized past, you know, or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's that I somehow, and I really don't, I don't know exactly how this works, but I can share it, is that somehow I've developed an ability to be self-reflective without critical. So those things, like you said, the exiles, the qualities of my personality, maybe it's just 15 years of marriage. Do you know? It's like, a lot of things have been brought up through that period of time.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, I accept that one, you know? So there's a responsibility acceptance part of like, this is who I am. You know, here I am. I'm middle-aged. I can't really, I'm past the phase, like in my mid twenties, I could blame somebody else, you know, be like, dad, why? Now it's like, well, I've been doing this for a long time. It's me now. So there's a huge part of, as those things come up, I've been surprised by them. You know, I think we all have things that come up, whether it be thoughts or actions or whatever, where we're surprised by what is there. And I don't push it away. I just accept it as who I am. So
I think that's the key right there, what you just said. Like, it's something that Rich Friesen's talked a lot about in his books. Like the first step is going to be awareness.
Yeah.
Like you're going to be, becoming aware of the behavior is step number one, accepting the behavior is step number two. And then you try to find the positive intent of what that behavior is attempting to accomplish, because most of the time it is trying to do something positive. It's just manifesting in a way that's not in the moment.
annoying or something.
Yeah,
yeah. I think of it like like everything that's inside of who I am, right, is not necessarily known to me,
mm-hmm.
but it's all in there. So I think of it like a closet, right? Is like this is just me personally. I don't necessarily like. I've had lots of conversations with people about this, and this is just how I've thought through it and how, you know, people I've interacted with have thought through it. And I think it's been beneficial. It's all that stuff's already in there. So when something comes up, it shouldn't be a surprise. It's just new to me.
Right.
So
just haven't looked in that box in a while.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. One of the things when I first got into markets, you know, I had addictive qualities. I had addictive qualities and kind of greedy qualities like all of us do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, don't like that. How do I deal with that? Well, let's just be honest about it. Okay, so you know, trading has an addictive quality. Okay, that's not new, yeah. But also that it was part of who I was, and that I had an affinity towards it because of the addictive quality, mm-hmm. and because of the greed quality, and because I thought maybe if I just had lots of money, all my problems would go away.
Right.
So what do I do? So typically, my method for that, this is just totally personal, is I just say it out loud, honestly. I just say it out loud to myself, honestly. Like, all right, man. You know, like you have a big part of you that is greedy here and it is willing to put everything on the line for you to win at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to be honest with that and say, that's who I am in some way. Okay. That part can now kind of retire. And that part sort of stops talking to you in such an intense way. And I do think that's a big part of, so we've talked about kind of the positive side of parts work, like, you know, you're employing certain things, which is great, but there's also days where I show up to the market and, you know, there's a part of me that isn't really an employee. It's more like a customer in the store, you know, and it's wanting something that is not in line with who I am as a mm-hmm. person and who I've said that I am. And so a big part of what I like to do with identity work isn't just past, like what's back here coming up, which is important. But I also think there's like a forward future quality to our identities, right? So we're sort of each day we're declaring who we are going to be as we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the stronger my tone is there, the stronger my voice is there, actually the quieter some of those past exile voices are.
Hmm.
That's, I don't necessarily have books on that. This is from my own experience. This is just what I've experienced, is that as I get a clearer vision of who I want to be, and as I move further into who I want to be, I kind of refer to those exiles. I mean, they can be true. They can have true qualities, but they're sort of lying to me about who I am, right? And who I'm going to be
mm-hmm.
in the near future as I work towards that, as I move towards that. And so I just kind of have a visual. I've used this for 15 years, but when I hear them, I turn around in my mind, I face them, and I just ask them if they're true. So you might have a voice that comes in and says, well, you know what, but you're actually a loser and you've lost it everything. You've lost it everything in your life. And when it gets too hard, you quit.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is, I say, well, we all have those tones. We all have those voices. I say, turn around, face it, and ask it if it's a liar. You know, have I really lost it everything? Confront it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know if this is, like, I don't know if this is standard method. This has just been my method.
Yeah.
Is I just turn around and I say, well, yeah, is that actually who I am or is it not? And if it is who I am, then it's something that I can grow in.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I can go, okay, let me accept that. I've done that. Personal responsibility. Now let me go and walk into being someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's untrue, which often our minds throw at us things that are just untrue. They just do, like, they're just random. You know, sometimes it's a voice that someone else said, a thing that someone said about us. Right.
Right.
And we hear it and we go, okay, that actually, I'm just looking at the facts and I'm not seeing that one, man. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we cannot be afraid of those parts in us that might combat who we want to become. Okay, they're fighting against who we want to become, and we can just turn around and we can confront them and we can move through them. And what I find is, okay, so a great example. Let's say you've had 3 weeks of a trading, you know, mess,
mm-hmm.
and there's a part of you that is saying, you never had this anyway. You got lucky for a little while, but you're actually like a shit trader and you should quit, right? And so there's a part of you that's really doubtful about who you are, and you can turn around and say, well, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I, let's say, am I a losing trader or am I an unprofitable trader? And then we start to define those things. We say, well, what is a profitable trader? Well, a profitable trader can go through losing streaks,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a profitable trader can lose money and they can lose money consistently for a period of time. But a profitable trader has a system, has a process, puts that above P&L, executes to the best of their ability, right? Doesn't have to be perfect. Shows up, does the work every day. Okay, I am losing, but I'm not a losing trader.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So now I'm confronting that part and I'm speaking into it. And I'm saying, actually, let's just re-identify who you are. Okay. So I'm in a tough time, but I'm not a losing trader because I have evidence for that, right? And you can build that out.
Sounds like the key is just listening to those voices when they pop up and
Like
giving them the actual time and then thinking critically about it and not just accepting what they say at face value.
Or taking action from them.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Don't take that. Just
That's right.
Give it a moment and think about it.
No reason to be scared of those voices. Yeah. There's no reason to be intimidated by some doubt that you have. Do you know?
Yeah.
There's no reason to be intimidated by that. Yeah.
It's funny. Like we're afraid to acknowledge a lot of like our own faults, it seems like, but really, like, even if you acknowledge it, who's going to know? You don't have to tell anybody that you did.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really that embarrassed about it.
It's just
like,
you and your thought, like, get over it, right? I think that's actually why people who hit rock bottom do better, like, they statistically have a better opportunity at trading is if you, like, hit a real rock bottom.
Yeah.
Because it's the first time in your life that you can stop and go, okay, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm accepting all of it. I'm accepting all of this responsibility for who I am, for what I've done, for the stupid things. And I'm no longer scared. Like that's, you know, David Goggins' book, you know, Can't Hurt Me. That's really the theme there. Like there's a lot there. Everybody loves the fitness part, which is great. Mm-hmm. But the real theme in David Goggins' book is I'm not afraid of the negativity that you say and that I say to myself, and I'm willing to accept all of it and continue going forward, you know?
Yeah.
This is great. And actually, it's another question I want to ask you is books. So do you have recommendations of books that are not necessarily trading related, but relevant to trading?
Yeah. I mean, I do think Can't Hurt Me is great, David. That wasn't actually on my list, but that is a good one. One of my favorites, and I think I'll highlight it because I think my website is mostly an expression of this, is a book, The War of Art. Hmm. You probably haven't read it.
No.
Okay. So it's not trading related at all.
Great.
It's very good. Stephen Pressfield. And it's kind of talking about how to tap into your own creativity. So mm-hmm. how to kind of quiet the noise around you. And he refers to this kind of concept as the muse, like basically this idea that the muse was sort of whispering, you know, Beethoven's music into many people's ears, but none of them were listening but Beethoven. So then he heard this idea and he expressed it. Mm-hmm. And that's probably a big place. So creatively where I look for systems, where I look for how can I help people is through a lot of methods that he talks about, which is just like sort of quieting your mind and letting your mind tell you the answer to the problem. Like it's like it's all out there. Do you know what I mean? And he opened up some qualities for me that I just had no idea. Really, really neat stuff. Another one. So my favorite kind of market book probably is, I've read a lot of like technical market things and they're all super boring.
Right.
But the one that I really like is Fooled by Randomness. Have you guys read that?
No.
Okay. Fooled by Randomness is fantastic. Highly recommend. That changed the way that I interact with markets completely.
Great.
It changed everything about how I execute as well, like which is weird. I mean, my entries and exits look similar, but the way I think about them is just totally different. So
awesome.
That one's really good. And then another random one that I really enjoy, I actually have on my desk, is a book called Risk. I found this at the library and I had to just get it. Middle of the winter, me and the kids are all bored. We go to the library and pick up random books. I picked up this one, Risk, General Stanley McChrystal. I mean, I have no idea who he is before this book. I've never read anything else by him. But his framework for sort of thinking through risk and how you mitigate it and how you sort of strategically align yourself to being able to take advantage of risky situations. There's a lot of applications to trading and there's a lot of applications to how we might run a trading business, you know, that I think expanded my mind outside of just like stop, target, risk, you know, like
great.
There's a lot more. Yeah. There's a lot more complexity to sort of like, what are we risking by our behavior than just like a stop or an entry, you know, and a target. So
I love that. Thank you for that list. That's awesome. Yeah. And I know that we probably need to wrap this up, but I want to say that I'm really grateful for our Turbo coaching session. And I think like, as I said, I'm taking something from it and it might just change my whole world in trading. enough to be noticeable. And I might also get a follow-up coaching session with you. Like, that's available, right? People can have coaching sessions with you.
Totally. Yeah. So I've been asked a lot. And so I just made that available. I do it on a pretty limited basis, kind of just people who reach out and if it sort of fits into my schedule and their schedule. And it's really been a positive thing. Like, that's really what's enjoyable, is that we kind of create a collaborative, you know, environment where we can both sort of learn from each other. But yeah, I enjoy it. You can check that stuff out on my website, longwintertradingco.com, read the articles. You know, they're kind of a wander in the woods, a lot of them. So, you know, hopefully they're helpful for people. I'm glad, Cleo, that you said that they were. That means a ton. So thank you.
I think they're great.
I very much enjoyed them too. And even the ones that, like, maybe weren't necessarily something that I agreed with, or I think they still made me think. And I really appreciate that. Like, okay, yeah, I can see why this makes sense, but maybe this one isn't for me.
Totally. You know what? Every time I sit down to write, I say, I don't know if anybody is going to even read this, but it'll be original and it'll be thought provoking, at least for me. Do you know what I mean?
It's definitely thought provoking. I give you that. Yeah, thanks. and there's a lot of great information on there too, but Cleo is right. I think we do need to say goodbye to Andrew so we can get back to making some money. It's okay. It doesn't have to be the end. If you enjoyed today's conversation, you still want more, you're welcome to re-listen to the last episode we did with Andrew, or you can visit his website, longwintertradingco.com, and browse through all the great content he's been putting together. Make sure to have all those links in the episode description. Cleo and I will be back soon with another exciting episode. But until then, share this episode with your friends like a blurry photo of Bigfoot, and have a great day.
Thank you guys for having me. This was fantastic.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.